ourselves. The word of God will correct us, but we have to do the work to correct those acts and deeds that we're doing that are against God. You know, we have to get into the subject of faith. We have to get in that faith, and we have to stay in that faith. And we have to continue to go deeper and deeper into the word of God. And this is what we're doing in this lesson, and in the next few lessons to come, we're going to take you deeper and deeper into the word of God. Through faith, we can have our needs met. God will even give us the desires of our heart through faith. And we can have our heart's desires, everything that we want, everything that we desire. You know, we desire to live a good life, a clean life, a righteous life, a holy life. We desire to help people here on earth, to be givers, you know, to give to people that need. Well, we have to have money to give. We have to have it to give, or we can't give it. So God is saying that if you do the things that I tell you to do, then I will open the windows of heaven, and I will I will pour you out a blessing that you are not going to have room enough to receive it. And then not only that, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. How many know Satan is devouring us? He's devouring our crops that we plant. You know, he's devouring the very food that we have. He's devouring that. He's taking it from us. Devouring, I mean, he's just consuming it. He's taking it away. Our money doesn't seem to quite make it from the first of the month to the end of the month. Our money sometimes play out in the middle of the month. Now, you know that's the devourer. So check yourself. Make sure that you're doing the things that you said you're supposed to do. And Malachi said, my people are robbing me. And they asked God, they said, well, how are we robbing you? He said, through tithes and offerings. Pay your tithes. Pay your offerings. Do the things that God is calling you to do. And when you do that, God says he will give you a sevenfold blessing. You know, through faith, we can have our needs met. We can have the desires of our heart. God will rebuke that devourer for our sake. And we will receive that sevenfold blessings from God. Saints, I want you to understand, this is, we're not playing. We're being sincere. All sincere. I'm asking you to get your heart together. Get your mind together. Get your thinking together. Become sincere in what you're doing for the Lord. Stop just putting on a show for the people at church or the people in your neighborhood or even maybe the people in your home. You know, just be sincere in what you do and say about God. Because that's what God is going to pay. He's not going to pay you for half-heartedly doing anything. Our lesson for last week says that he would that you be hot or cold. He said, because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. You know, we have to keep our thoughts in check. We have to keep the evil thoughts out and let the good thoughts come in. Remember, faith is one of the power weapons, the most powerful weapons that we have. And we have it to use to fight the devil.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1 as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Jesus, I love the name. is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 13. And I want to revisit this text this morning because the anointing of God and the leading of His Spirit meets God's people right where they are. He can take one message and bring out more meaning for the people who are present at that sharing of the word. And so I am grateful to God to yield to Him in this matter. There are times, I throw this out parenthetically because I don't always preach the same text, but there are times when the Holy Ghost unctions me to do the same thing, and that utterance must be obeyed.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes. And I've heard many preachers say, I spent too much time preparing. I'm gonna read my little poem and sit down, but I'm not gonna change it. And yet I've decided I'm gonna obey the Lord. Exodus 12:13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall be not unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. One of the things that I was most impressed about this text was the fact that in this one verse, it gave to me and to us a glimpse of the gospel in the Old Testament and shares with us a preview of Christ and His sacrifice. One of the things that is so important about understanding the Word of God and how the Spirit of the living God brings out illumination and understanding is the fact that God's Word is alive, it's real, and it's relevant. And though this word comes out of the Old Testament, it is yet relevant for us in life today. When you begin to understand this story have many different meanings, and it has several different ways, inroads to various revelations and truths. And so when we look at what God is leading by His Spirit for us to understand today is the power of what God has done in His Word and revealing to us the significance of blood throughout the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, there is in one way or another some relevance of the blood. From the bloodless of a sacrifice of Cain, blood was used in offerings, blood was used in atonement, and blood was used in salvation. And so from the bloodless sacrifice of Cain to Leviticus 17 and 11, which talks about life is in the blood, and then moving on to Hebrews 9 and 22, where it talks about where there is no blood, there shall be no remission of sins. And then when you go to Revelation 12 and 11, it talks about the blood of the Lamb. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so it's important to realize that when we look at this one verse, it reveals four things about the blood. The first thing is the prominence. The prominence of the blood. That blood that God refers to in his word is the most important thing that the believer must hold on to, not only from this historical account, but the reality of the revelation of Jesus Christ's shedding of his blood, paying for our sins, making a way for us, and putting us in right relationship with God. We could not be saved without the blood. And so when we start talking about the blood, singing about the blood, preaching about the blood, teaching about the blood, we need to yield our understanding to how powerful God's word is concerning the blood, because the word is clear. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. That's right. And so we must realize there must be more to the blood. And when we begin to look at this verse, it'll shed a little light on what's all in the blood. So the Bible says, and the blood. And it starts off with the blood, because the blood is primary. The blood is prominent. It's important for us to realize that everything that God's going to do as it relates to the reality of our salvation and soul must come by the blood. But there are benefits to the blood for the believer. Jesus didn't just shed his blood to be shedding his blood. He shed his blood because it was the requirement for the penalty and the payment of that penalty of sin and mankind. None other could pay the supreme and premium price of salvation for their own souls other than Jesus Christ sacrificially giving it to us by way of the cross. When you think of the reality of this in your life, my brothers and sisters, one of the reasons the enemy don't want you to know about the blood and the cross is because it's still working miracles today. He doesn't want you to know because the blood and the cross is as real and relevant yesterday, will be the same today and forevermore. Why? Because it is the only way that men can come into a right relationship with God. The blood. Somebody say the blood. The prominence of the blood. But then I want you to see in scripture it says the place of the blood. It says the blood. It shall be unto you or to you for a token. Here's the point. The token over the houses where ye are. That token meant a warning and proof. Proof. You see, the blood was going to be proof to God that you were saved behind the door. Behind the lintel and the post. The blood would say to God that the death angel would not have to go in and see who's in the house. But the reality was that it was proof. The token meant it was the proof, so that you'll understand that what God does, he does by way of his word. He does by way of his own instructions and directions. And it's important. While many times it may not make sense to you, it makes sense to God. And when you obey him, you get the benefit of what God has spoken in his word. So here it is, the place. Where is the place? The place is to place the blood from the lamb on the doorposts and the lintel. That was the place of the blood. Here was the whole truth of the matter. A lamb of one year. It was supposed to be killed. It was supposed to be a perfect lamb without spot and wrinkle and blemish. And so they would take that lamb. They would clean that lamb, prepare that lamb. They would draw the blood out in a basin and hold it to the side. They would take the meat and roast the meat, but they were not allowed to use herbs or spices. It was just roasted meat. It was for sustenance and substance, and it was for nutrition. It was to be eaten, and whatever was not to be eaten, the rest of it was to be burned. It was so sacred that it couldn't fall in unsacred hands. God gave them those instructions. Now, with the blood that had been captured from that lamb, they were supposed to go in their house and then take the blood and place it on each doorpost and across the lintel. The blood represented as a foreshadow of Jesus Christ's blood. The post and lintel represented the cross. So in the Old Testament, you had a snapshot of the blood of the Lamb on the cross. The same thing the Passover did in the Old Testament time, Jesus sacrificing and staying in our place became the sacrificial lamb by the shedding of his blood. And God looks over, passes over, gives us remission of sins because of the blood that's over our lives. And so I get excited when I hear the fact that the word of God has made provision for me, not just yesterday, but way back in the beginning of time. God knew that we would miss the mark and made ready for our provisions. So the place of the blood was important. Why was the place of the blood important? Because that's what God said. Little did we know that those posts and the lintel would represent the cross. But God had that in mind. Little did we know that the sacrificial blood of the Lamb would be like the Lamb's blood, that great Lamb of God at Revelation 12 and 11 talks about, which was a symbol and sign of Jesus Christ's blood. And so we know now that that blood not only has prominence in it, it has a place in it, but let's look at the protection by it. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Now, when God sees the blood, the word is that he will allow the death angel to pass over that house. Not come in that house and judge those in the house, because what God was doing was he was saying, because of the blood that you have fulfilled the instructions of placing on the doorpost and the lintel, it doesn't matter who's behind the blood. They receive salvation because of the blood. Now listen, if you were a murderer, if you were a murderer, if you were a whoremonger, an adulterer, a liar, a backstabber, whatever damnable thing you could be, if you were behind the door with the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the death angel would pass you by. Now, I don't know if that's shouting news, because it's not much different today, because no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter what your sins are, when you come to Jesus and the blood of Jesus covers you, no matter what you've done, it's canceled out by the blood. And so this is so exciting to know that that blood was, listen, represented God's power to overlook all of the judgment of those behind the door. So that meant that the death angel didn't come in and judge. Hallelujah to the Lamb. But if you were behind the door with the blood, he just passed. Now listen to this. You had to have blood on your door. And when I see the blood, listen at the word, I will pass over you. Now that means it don't matter if mama and grandmama and them had blood on their door, if you wasn't covered by the blood. You can't say that's my mama and my dad and them, they got blood on their door. I'm covered. No, every house had to stand for itself. Now listen at this. You know what is also helpful to understand? And I just want to throw this out parenthetically, that you need to be careful where you fellowship and associate at or with. Because here is the point. If you were at your friend's house and your friends had blood on the door and the doorpost, you would be saved. But just because you were a child of God, if you were not behind a door that didn't have the blood, listen, you were not saved. And so sometimes folk don't realize that we suffer by the wrong company, being in the wrong place with the wrong people at the wrong time. But thank God for the blood. And they were saved because they were behind the doorpost and the lintel. The protection came because of the blood. And when you understand that, my brothers and sisters, you need to tell somebody, thank God I'm covered by the blood. I say you need to tell somebody, thank God I'm covered by the blood. You know what the joy of that news is right now? Even if I'm in the wrong place and I'm covered under the blood, the Bible says he'll pass over me. And so my brothers and sisters, when we move on and we look at the last portion of this verse, it talks about the power of the blood. So we have the prominence of the blood, the place of the blood, the protection of the blood, and now the power of the blood. Look at what he says. And the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you. The plague shall not be unto you to destroy you. Here's what it said. The blood, when he gets ready to smite the land of Egypt, the blood is going to have power to keep the judgment of God from condemning you. God made provisions in his word for those who obeyed his word. I got news for you. Everybody in Israel didn't make it. Now, listen, he was coming and sending this death angel as the 10th plague that was brought upon the Egyptians. Well, why was this brought upon the Egyptians? If you don't remember the story, God sent Moses to Pharaoh after 430 years of their crying, but because of their sin, God had finally, after 430 years, heard their prayers and raised up Moses and sent him to Pharaoh. And he told Pharaoh to tell, God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He knew Pharaoh didn't want to do it and wasn't going to do it. So God hardened the heart of Pharaoh and then brought all of these plagues upon Egypt to show Pharaoh that he was God all by himself. And here's what's most interesting. There were so many different gods in Egypt that almost every one of the gods that was represented by the plague got defeated in the showing of God's power. In other words, when Pharaoh went to call on his gods to do something about the plague that our God sent, when he told him, I am that I am, hath sent me, he went to calling on his priests and the gods that he had, and all of them were helpless against I am that I am. And for the final straw, God said, I will kill the firstborn of man and beast if they did not have the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And Pharaoh didn't have blood on the palace doors. And Pharaoh was not spared his firstborn. Now listen at this. What is this saying? The Bible is clear that there's power in the blood. Power to cleanse. Power to cleanse in the blood. Power to heal by his stripes. We are healed. Power to deliver in the blood. And power to save in the blood. And so when you think about the blood, listen, and its relevance today, all of those things the blood is still doing today. It's still cleansing today. It's still healing today. It's still delivering today. And it's still saving today. When you talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, you're talking about something. And listen at this. The devil can't do nothing about the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Saved by the blood. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when you're in day-to-day combat and you're in different areas and arenas of your life, different situations thrown out, don't forget the power in the blood. Don't forget to tell God, thank you for this blood with the power in it to do what the enemy cannot do against you. Thank you that Jesus' blood covers you. Jesus' blood keeps you. Thank you for the blood. You're able to use that blood in your warfare, in your prayer life, in your everyday life. Thank God for. I know it was the blood. I'm not going on what somebody told me. I know it was the blood. I know for myself that the blood saved me from my sins. And every now and then, I have to tell Lord, Lord, thank you for your same in grace. It was nothing but the blood that saved me.